The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Michael O'Leary and Ryanair more broadly have been saying for some time now that they are constrained in their capacity to grow by two primary things, one being the airport cap in Dublin Airport, the other being Boeing's incapacity to deliver planes as fast as possible. We discovered overnight that Boeing has now, among its other problems, it has to deal with 33,000 workers striking, and those workers are the ones who are making the 767 and the 737, on which Ryanair is waiting. We will get to that in a second. Before we will get to the passenger cap. Michael O'Leary, good morning.
Good morning, Anton. Greetings from sunny Mullingar.
The passenger cap, Michael, your views on the passenger cap have been well ventilated at this point. The thing that I am unclear on is what it is that you hope to achieve by ventilating those views, given that it is part of a planning process which in theory is separate from politics.
You're right, Anton, it is separate from politics, but we have a Minister for Transport. The Minister for Transport has the legal power to issue directions to the Irish Aviation Authority to authorise additional slots in order to deliver national aviation policy, which he framed, which his aviation policy is to enhance Ireland's connectivity and to foster the growth of aviation to support job creation. And we have this bizarre situation where we now have a 2007 planning condition, which Fingal itself ignored in 2015 when it approved the second gate planning permission for the second runway, is now being used to block not just growth, but even existing flights at Dublin Airport.
Now, would that not put the IAA in direct opposition to the planning? Because you would then have a situation where you would be in constant breach of the planning for not just months, but years.
Well, I mean, let's face facts. We're already in breach of the planning. Now, but so what? Many people are in breach of planning. Frequently, when you're building a house, there's some amendments and you go back in for attention subsequently. The planning process will continue. The TAA, who, by the way, are the authors of this mess, they should have applied years ago to lift this planning restriction. But the TAA have submitted the planning application to Fingal County Council. But the problem is it could take 1, 2, 3 years to have this traffic condition scrapped. Now, remember, it's a condition that was imposed in 2007 when we had a two-lane M50, and there was worries that if Dublin Airport got to 32 million passengers, road traffic around Dublin would collapse. It hasn't. We're already over 32 million passengers. So it's an arcane condition. It has no relevance. It will get lifted. The problem is it may take 2 or 3 years with Ireland's very slow-moving planning process to lift it.
Indeed, but
meantime.
Is it politically realistic, though? I mean, it is one thing for an individual who's building a house to apply for retention because they got a bit creative with their approach to the planning process. It's another for a government minister to willingly and willfully run a coach and forward through that process.
But, I mean, I think the government minister and Fingal County Council ran the coach and horses through it in 2015 when they approved the second runway. I mean, they approved the second runway knowing that it would take traffic capacity at Dublin up to 60 million passengers a year and forgot to, what do we do about the 2007 cap at 32 million passengers? We've effectively built a second runway at Dublin Airport, but because of a 2007 road traffic concern, you're telling the airlines, we can't use it. Now, it hasn't had any impact to date, but this winter, for example, we now can't run charters for Leinster Rugby to take them to away matches. The Lapland flights going to Christmas won't get approved for slots. And about 220,000 extra seats, which we, Aer Lingus and the other airlines had every Christmas at Dublin Airport, have been blocked. So people are either coming home for Christmas, are going to come home on the boat, or going to come home via Belfast Airport.
Well, on the topic of Belfast, one of the things that Ryanair has proven over the last number of decades is that there is a capacity to use what would have been regarded as secondary airports, sometimes at a distance from the city that they serve. How come the same thing can't happen at your primary base in Dublin?
Because there isn't really an alternative airport. You know, PM, I've heard some politicians say, well, why don't you just move them to Shannon and Cork? I mean, Shannon and Cork are 200, 240 kilometres away from Dublin. And it fails to recognise the reality that 60% of the traffic on our flights to Dublin are inbound. They want to come to Dublin. And if they can't come to Dublin, their alternative weekend or holiday destination is not Shannon or Cork. It's Glasgow, it's London, it's Prague, it's Warsaw. And so because of this planning restriction, we this year wanted to add 3 more aircraft at Dublin Airport. We're going to base 3 more aircraft and deliver 1 million passenger growth at Dublin this summer. And those aircraft and that growth went to Italy and to Poland instead. And what I find extraordinary is that not alone do we have a green transport minister who could fix this at the stroke of a pen but won't, we also have a green tourism minister, Catherine Martin, who's now, and the two of them are presiding over this shambles at Dublin Airport, which the IAA have now written to the airline saying, not alone do we not want you to grow, we want you to cut 1 million seats, 1 million visitors out of Irish tourism for summer 2025. And the Greens are sitting there hiding in their offices, failing to fix this.
Now, on the topic, of the two Green ministers, do you think you might have been strategically more successful if you hadn't been launching ad hominem attacks on the person and people that you are trying to persuade?
I mean, I always find this interesting. You know, people come out, oh, you're personally attacking Eamon Ryan. We've never really personally attacked Eamon Ryan.
You have called him an idiot. That is a personal attack.
Well, I mean, we attack his professional competence because in 4 years as a Minister for Transport, he's failed to take any initiative to lift this cap. And we now also have a green transport tourism minister.
That's a bit Jesuitical, Michael, isn't it?
Seat cut next year.
I think going with idiot is a bit more than attacking professional competence, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I would regret using the phrase idiot. I mean, incompetent, I think, is a much more professional criticism, is valid and justified. You know, he means well, but he always has. He's a bit of a spoofer. There's always, we can do this in 2050 and we can do this in 2040. But when you actually ask him to do something here in 2024, like sign a ministerial order telling the IAA to continue to grow traffic at Dublin Airport, he disappears.
How significant is it to the group? Because Ryanair, of course, by a mile, the biggest in Europe and one of the biggest in the world. Does it matter significantly if there's a 5 or 10% difference at Dublin Airport?
I mean, it doesn't really. I mean, as we've shown this summer, you know, we moved 3 aircraft away from Dublin, 2 to Italy and 1 to Poland. Now, you know, we have a lot of flexibility. So from a Ryanair perspective, it makes no difference to us whether we grow at Dublin or whether we grow in the UK or in Italy or in Spain or in Sweden, which this week actually abolished an aviation tax to foster growth. But I think, you know, we live and work in Ireland, our head office in Ireland. We're very proudly an Irish company. And we have, over the last 20 years, grown to become Dublin's largest, Dublin, Cork and Shannon's largest airline. We're growing significantly in Cork and Shannon at the moment. I mean, there's this kind of myth put out there that Ryanair only wants to grow in Dublin. We do want to grow in Dublin, but at the same time, we're also growing in Cork and in Shannon as well. And I find it very upsetting, you know, when you're running a world-leading company like Ryanair from Ireland, that the one market we can't grow in is our own home market. And, you know, my response to that is to campaign for change. And the only way we can campaign for change is to expose the continuing failure of Eamon Ryan to fix this traffic cap.
It's been interesting as well.
A letter to the IAA.
When you look at that campaign, yourselves and the DAA have been more aligned than I think we have seen Ryanair and the DAA in a public campaign so far. And there has been constant rolling pressure now for months on this topic. Do you think you're getting anywhere?
I mean, I think so. You know, it's not just Ryanair and the DAA. Aer Lingus fully support the abolition of the cap. The American airlines want it abolished. I mean, lots of airlines want to deliver growth in Dublin. And we're all sitting there. I mean, it is extraordinary. Airports all over Europe are laughing at the Irish. We've just opened a second runway at Dublin Airport, but we can't use it because of a 17-year-old planning restriction and a minister who won't issue a letter which would instantly fix it while the planning process takes its course.
I was asking you how significant Dublin is in the big scheme of Ryanair, and you were saying that it wasn't that massive given your capacity to grow elsewhere. I assume one of the things that is hugely significant to you is Boeing's incapacity to get jets to you. They're already falling behind their deliveries by a significant margin. What, 25-ish% is what they're behind in terms of target? We discover overnight that 33,000 Boeing workers, the ones who make the 737s, are now going to go on strike. Have they briefed you on that?
They have, you know, and we regret the strike. You know, I find it strange that the workers want to go on strike when they've just, their union has agreed a 25% pay increase over a 4-year period. You know, I don't know of many groups of workers who have been offered a 25% pay increase over a 4-year period, but that's a matter for Boeing and the workers. I mean, I think the point you make is valid. You know, we were supposed to get 50 aircraft from Boeing before summer of 2024. We only got 35 aircraft. We've had to slow down our growth this year. We originally planned to carry 205 million passengers in the current year, in 2024. We'll probably only hit 200 million passengers. So we are getting some aircraft, just not as many aircraft as we had ordered.
But there was a sort of a sense that things might be changing with Kelly Ortberg. And if one of the first things that happens is that we get a significant strike on the assembly line that you're dependent on, it would suggest that there isn't the major upheaval that you needed in terms of productivity.
Look, I mean, lots of companies have strikes. Ryanair has had strikes in recent years. Companies go through strikes. You know, the outcome is generally strikes get fixed. Management and labour do a deal and fix whatever the problem is. I've no doubt that Boeing will fix this strike. It may take a number of weeks, but we're coming into the winter period anyway. So, you know, it's not that important. It may delay. I mean, we're supposed to get another 30 aircraft from Boeing before the summer of 2025. At the moment, it looks like we'll get about 25 of those aircraft. This strike, if it goes on for 3 or 4 weeks, might reduce that number to maybe 20 aircraft. But it'll still mean we'll have about 10 million worth of passenger growth next year. We grow to 210 million passengers. The big issue for us, and you know why we and the other airlines are campaigning so hard, is we'd like to put 1 or 2 million of that growth here in Dublin in summer of 2025 and keep fares down and keep Irish tourism growing. Sadly, at the moment, Irish tourism is facing a 1 million passenger loss next year because Eamon Ryan and his colleague Catherine Martin won't act.
Okay, I'll come back to the impact on fares in 1 second. Just one final thing on the area of Boeing, because one of the things that you had talked about previously was that when Boeing was delivering the 737s to you, you were having your own Ryanair engineers were spending between 7 and 10 days repairing problems in brand new, freshly delivered aircraft. We see recently the chair of the NTSB saying that Boeing has a safety culture problem. Would you agree?
I don't think they have a safety culture problem, but we do agree they have a quality control problem. Boeing are still making great aircraft. The new aircraft we're taking from them now carry 4% more passengers, but burn 16% less fuel. Like, the technology is incredibly efficient. But we were finding lots of aircraft with silly little bits and pieces missing, a spanner here, you know, a screw here, spanners under the floorboards of the aircraft. Nothing that would affect safety, but lots of concerning kind of quality issues.
10 days for each aircraft? It seems extraordinary.
It does when you're paying $100 million per plane. Now, you know, these you expect them to be delivering, you know, a motor or high-quality aircraft. The aircraft perform very well, but the quality control is poor. Our response to that was we put about 5 engineers into Wichita in Kansas where they make the fuselages, and we have a team of about 10 engineers now overseeing quality control on Ryanair aircraft in Seattle. Now, that has fixed the problem. But and to be fair to Boeing, I think they have fixed the quality control problems. They're now not delivering any aircraft with any defects, but they're only delivering 20 aircraft a month, whereas they were supposed to be in September this year be delivering 40 aircraft a month. So the whole system is ground to a halt. I think Kelly Ortberg and Stephanie Pope are fixing it. But it's a bit like turning around a super tanker. It's not going to be done in a week or a month. I think this will take 2-3 years to fix and deliver, you know, so that they're producing 40-45 aircraft a month with no defects.
And do you have a sense of where you are in their priority list? Because if they have a backlog running to the, 5,000-ish, I think, aircraft that are already on a backlog, in the big scheme of things, how much heft have you to get to the top of the queue?
I think we have quite a bit. I mean, we are now the largest customer of Boeing by aircraft numbers. We buy more aircraft from Boeing than any other airline anywhere in the world. So we do have a lot of influence. Our CFO, Neil Sorahan, was over meeting with Boeing, Kelly Ortberg and Stephanie Pope yesterday in Seattle. So we do get their attention, but we're not unique in this. All of Boeing's customers are struggling with delayed deliveries. I should say a lot of Airbus customers are struggling with delayed deliveries as well, but you know, we're not an Airbus customer, we're a Boeing customer. We are working hand in glove with Kelly and with Stephanie Pope to maximize our aircraft deliveries because we want to continue to grow. And only if we can keep growing capacity can we keep airfares low and keep people moving across Europe for the next decade.
That brings us back to Dublin Airport. You were quoted recently as saying that the impact on fares could mean that we would see, you said originally €500 and then €1,000 for flights to London. Surely that is total hyperbole.
No, I mean, look, every year, we, Aer Lingus and others, every Christmas for the last 20 years, have added about 220,000 extra seats for the 10 days prior to Christmas and between Christmas and New Year. This year, none of those extra flights are allowed at Dublin Airport because of the IAA won't authorise the slots. And if you take that volume of additional flights out of the system, it is inevitable. People who will be travelling back to Dublin on the 20th, 21st, 22nd of December, who book their flights late, towards the end of November, December, will be paying paying €500 plus one-way airfares. Many people will be coming home for the first time on boats. And our solution to this has been we've added about 50,000 extra seats on, from London up to Belfast. And I think you'll find a lot of Irish families will be travelling up to Belfast to collect their loved ones on Christmas Eve. Simply because a transport minister in Dublin won't issue a letter to the IAA authorising those flights to come to Dublin.
A couple of quick questions, because we are unsurprisingly inundated with tests. Can you ask Michael why he's happy to fly, well, we did this at the regional airports around Europe, but specifically one, why can't you use Waterford Airport? Why can't you go back to your birthplace?
There's a minor technicality that Waterford Airport doesn't have a runway long enough to fit a 737. So, and also, I mean, the real challenge for Waterford Airport is it is within 1 hour of Cork and now about an hour and a half of Dublin on, you know, if you're not travelling at peak times. Waterford is stuck in the catchment area of Cork and Dublin. Cork Airport is growing strongly. We're basing a fourth aircraft in Cork this winter. And when this cap is lifted, Dublin Airport will grow strongly as well. I mean, people should understand, like, Ireland is a country with a population of just 5 million people. We have 11 international airports. Bristol is a city of 10 million people. It has one international airport. So we do have too many airports for the size of our population.
Do we need a secondary one closer to the capital, though?
You have a secondary one closer to the capital is in effect Cork. Like a secondary airport closer to Dublin won't succeed when Dublin has just opened a second runway, which gives it the capacity to carry about 60 million passengers a year. We just need to get this planning restriction lifted from 2007. Then the problem is that may take 2 or 3 years with our snail-like planning process to get it lifted.
Last one then, because it represents a lot that have come in. I dropped passengers off at Dublin Airport at 8 a.m. this morning. Total chaos. Cars 3 deep, traffic delays leaving the airport. How could the airport cope with an extra 20,000 passengers a day without better access, i.e. light rail?
Well, the better access is already provided by buses. The buses now handle about 25% of Dublin's, of Dublin's traffic. So public access is playing its part, and that's one of the reasons why road access hasn't collapsed at Dublin Airport. The set-down area in front of Terminal 1 isn't great, but I think over time the DAA have plans to knock or extend the terminal buildings over where the hangars are as you leave the airport, and that would materially improve access at Dublin Airport. I'm not a great believer in light rail at Dublin Airport. We've demonstrated in recent years with the Children's Hospital and recent weeks with the bike shed, we're not particularly good at putting in public infrastructure. And Dublin is very well served. It's only 9 kilometres from the centre of town. It is very well served by bus connections. And the simplest, easier way to solve access to and from Dublin Airport is more bus transport, not light rail.
Michael, very much appreciate your time. I'll let you go back to enjoying the glorious Mullingar sun.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.